Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we're vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening wherever you grab your audio content. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. When you get a chance, visit the website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this episode, the whole catalog of 400-plus episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Right now, you can sign up for the fall men's retreat. You can sign up for the next session of Tribe, which begins June 1st and it runs until November 30th. You can sign up for our Framework Field Notes newsletter that goes out every week. I also want to remind you, the Friday podcast is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork. DarkwaterKC.com. If you use today's discount code that I'm going to give you on today's podcast episode, you'll save money when you go there. The link is in the show notes. But while you're there, you're going to realize Doug has a lot of things to check out. He's constantly adding to his store. He's adding to what is available. But I want to encourage you, grab some Old Fashioned. This Old Fashioned beard oil is incredible. I've had a number of beard oils through the years, and every once in a while one of them will kind of stand out to me as a good scent or something that I have no problem wearing. This is wife approved. This is a fantastic scent. It's called Old Fashioned. Make sure you grab a couple, give one to somebody else. You got graduation stuff coming up. Some of these young men are going to start to let the follicles come out of their face, and this is something that will help them keep that beard going and looking good and looking strong. Amen. So men, it's time for today's podcast episode. All right, man, if you've been tracking along with us, we have started to go through the book of Philippians. And we're in Philippians 1. We're going about 12 to 18. Typically, I don't read it all to you. I try to highlight a few things. But if you're tracking along, I'd encourage you, read this. This is more of the meat and potatoes approach now. Paul, we talked last couple weeks, he's given his greetings and salutations and how he's thankful for the co-laborers. We went back to Acts 16 and talked about, some of the people that have been foundational to the start of the church and what life was kind of like before they were a part of this church. And now, here we are. We're looking at what's going on, Paul. He's writing from prison. And he says in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Man, do you ever look at the things that you go through and say, I hope this advances the gospel? I don't. I don't that often. But if I read the book of Acts, that's what they prayed for, advancing the gospel. You talk about a good mile marker for yourself to know when you are no longer about yourself. That would be it. That whatever happens in my life, good, bad, or indifferent, would serve to advance the gospel. Paul says, since I've been here, the gospel has really been advancing. He wrote in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? You could read this text and say, everybody, Paul, everybody seems to be against you. I have days where I feel that way. Like, man, is everything going against me? What we see here with Paul is an unshakable confidence in God's providence. That no matter what God seemingly is doing in his life, he has an unshakable confidence. God, you got this. And so he says, it has served to advance the gospel. That's your discount code. Advance the gospel. And so he says, what has been known throughout the whole imperial guard, everybody who's supposed to be guarding Paul, and to all those that my imprisonment is for Christ, and most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak without fear. That's interesting, because if you heard that your pastor or ministry leader or whomever was put in prison for preaching the gospel, how many of you would say, well, it's time to ramp up our approach to preaching the gospel? Oftentimes, we would go the other way and say, well, I don't really want to deal with that, or maybe we should. I mean, this happens all the time in cultural matters, social justice matters, political matters. Something happens in the world, you're like, well, we got to talk about it. We need to let the world know that we're on their side too. We're on Jesus' side. That's the side we're on. That's where our allegiance is. King Jesus. That's who we're going with. And this is where we get our orders. This is where we get our instruction. That's the Bible. We get it from there. I don't get my cues from what's going on or what a news station told me or a social media person said you should talk about, teach about. This is what we do. We go with Jesus. So when Paul's put in prison, he could say, maybe I need to temper it back a bit. If I was less bold, less aggressive, If I was quiet more, then I would be more free to be able to fellowship with other believers and hang out with them and have meatloaf and chili cook-offs, and you know, we could have sweet tea together. I mean, boy, isn't that what Christian life is? Just good food, fun, and fellowship? Paul said, no, we're about the gospel. You going to put me here? I'm going to preach the gospel. How do we know that? He says this, some indeed preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. I want you to consider where you're at, physically where you're at, what you do for a living, where you work, your relationship status. Consider it in the aspect that God has put you there to advance the gospel. You might not look at it that way. You might look at it as you're in some kind of proverbial timeout, or you're being punished, or there's a consequence. God has put you there to advance the gospel. It's never about our comfort. It's never about our consumption. I mean, God wants us to enjoy this life. I don't have any doubt or question about that. But make no mistake about it. 24 hours a day, God is in the business of bringing people to Him. And He uses us and allows us to participate in that. I don't know how many hours a day that you're actively involved in advancing the gospel, but I look at my life and say, I could stand to add a few more hours. I could stand to add a few more minutes. I could stand to add a few more conversations where I am about the gospel. Be about the gospel. One of the things I found interesting, my father-in-law was a minister for 40 plus years back in Iowa. When he moved to Indianapolis, he worked a couple jobs, whatever. He ends up getting on at a hospital as a valet. I mean, this guy could preach circles around me. Everything I know about ministry, I learned from him. And he's a valet. And I remember thinking, hey, you don't want to do that. You don't be a valet. You get in them dirty cars. You got to touch their steering wheels. You know, people are just, you get people's cars, you learn a lot about them real quick. Well, you're going to park cars of people who, you know, some of them need your help, but some of them just plain lazy. And you're going to get in a car and park the car. He's not young. Most of the valets aren't young. And at some point, he got moved over to the cancer hospital, and he's helping people in and out of there who, man, they just, and I remember thinking, I don't know how I'd handle that. I mean, here's a guy, he's preached the gospel, I mean, he's well known the whole day. He's a valet, wears a red polo shirt like a Target worker every day. Since he's passed, I cannot tell you the number of people who have given to that hospital in his name. I cannot tell you the number of nurses that have reached out. People that come in, I mean, the number of people that were impacted by a humble man who is willing to help you out of your car or park your car, share the word with you. People say, I don't think you can do that in a hospital. They say, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? He was put there to advance the gospel. I can't tell you how many days I throw a little man fit because things aren't quite going my way. Well, maybe God has put you there, Jarrett, to advance the gospel. Because it's never to advance me. It's to advance the gospel. I advance the gospel by being a kingdom worker. Go back the last couple weeks. I want to be in tune with the Spirit. I want to look for evangelistic opportunities. I'm going to partner with a brotherhood of people who are moving the same direction. I'm going to live on mission. So when I'm in these situations where I am put here, you know, why am I here? Why do I have this? Why do I have that? Why am I stuck in jury duty? Why am I stuck in traffic? Why do I get seated at this spot in the restaurant? Why do I got to deal with this person at the school? You are put there to advance the gospel. Paul said, you can change my geography, but you're not going to change my mission. You can place me, you can whip me, you can move me, you can say all kinds of evil and things against me. He said, that ain't going to change what I'm about. I'm about the gospel. I just know we got a lot of guys who would have folded a lot quicker than Paul. The first whiff of adversity, you just said, I'm out. That's not the case all over the world, because I know, like I talked about before, like Church in Chains, there's other ones, Secret Church, there's people that they present to you what other believers in Christ are going through around the world, why there is a secret church, why there are chains for Christians who are just working at jobs or trying to evangelize or teach the Bible, and the accusations made against them are horrific. They're terrible. The punishments are worse. You know what they say? That ain't going to change my mission. That does not change my mission. I have been put here. I live here. I reside here. Some of you guys know I live in an HOA. I've never had an HOA before. I don't think I'll ever have one again. But what I do understand is I have been put here to share the gospel. That's going to look different with every person that passes by. I'm told before, having the garage door up, the number of people have asked to inquire, what are you doing in there? What's a grown man doing with a ring light? I'm not sure, but I do know this. I'm going to talk about the gospel. And if you want to hear it, here's a great place to hear it. We're going to let them know this is what we're about. Where has God placed you? And what are you doing with it? Are you changing your perspective to say, I want to look through my life. I want to look at the world through the lens of a biblical worldview. Or do I look at my situation and circumstances with a selfish point of view? He says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. He said, you know what? If people are proclaiming the gospel because they're trying to get some notoriety or credibility, you know, you have blue check mark people. That was nothing new according to Paul. They just didn't have blue check marks, but they did it out of different reasons, envy, rivalry. Some of them did it out of, you know, good heart. You see in the book of Acts where people, when persecution came, they said, God, give us more confidence. Could you imagine? You're trying to persecute people and they say, bring it on. The things that make us fold. I just think when we stand before the Almighty someday, we're going to be ashamed of the things that made us fold. Whether it was just boredom, whether it was a concern what other people thought, whether it was just a lack of desire in our life, it was just living a life of not being in tune with the Spirit. I don't know. One of my teenage daughters the other day had a situation. She was in a place and she just said, I don't feel right about being here. And she was telling the people she's with, and I talked to her later on. I'm like, keep cultivating that because that's from the Holy Spirit. So wherever you're at, be in tune with the Spirit. Wherever you're at, hey, he's going to provide a way for you to be reminded of and proclaim the gospel. What did God do with the most powerful and impactful missionary the world has ever seen? He put him in prison. But throughout his imprisonment, the gospel was shared in Rome with ways that it would not have otherwise. So here's God putting him in prison. Paul said, what should we do? I got an idea. I'm going to start writing letters. God said, I have an idea. We're going to put those letters in a book and we're going to call it the Bible. And people are going to read it and they're going to study it. They're going to talk about it. They're going to put it on a podcast. They're going to preach it from their pulpits. They're going to talk about it in their garages. They're going to sit at coffee shops where they're at. And they're going to talk about what Paul's writing as he sits in a dirty, dungy, musty prison. I got the garage door up. It has been a monsoon in Indianapolis the last couple days. I can feel the moisture. I can feel it on the paper. Everything just feels different. Imagine being below the surface of the ground and being in some kind of prison where you're locked up and you're chained up. And you're like, it smells. It's dirty. It's miserable. You know there's all kinds of people who are just beside themselves, who are losing their minds. Paul says, I'm going to write to Lydia and I'm going to tell her, you keep proclaiming the gospel. I'm going to write to that jailer. I'm going to write to that slave girl. I'm going to write to that guy, that family member, that whomever. And I'm going to tell him, you keep preaching the gospel. I have been put here to share the gospel. Here's what we know. The stirring in one man's heart by the prompting of the Holy Spirit can impact people for all eternity. As we said last time, you just need a little bit of obedience. A little bit of obedience that will say, how can I pray for you? A little bit of obedience that says, hey, we got a men's thing going on. You want to be a part of that? You want to come hang out with these guys? A little bit of obedience that says, hey, you want to come over for dinner? You and your family? And then you pray when you're there and you show them how Christian people live. Just a little bit of obedience. What if you just lived out your faith a little bit more obediently today than you did yesterday? Because that's what sanctification is. It's less like you and more like Jesus. I'm less like me. More like Jesus, that's the goal. If you're just like yourself today than you were yesterday, then you got to say, am I being sanctified? Am I becoming more like Christ or more like myself? And so Paul encouraged all those people first. Remember, I'm thankful for you. We're co-laborers. We're in this together. And they said, let me give you a perspective on what's going on here. He said, we got people preaching for all different reasons, whatever. Listen, the motive, it does matter. The motive does matter. The method, whether he's in prison, or he's at the riverside, or he's at someone's house, or he's standing before leaders, the method may change a little bit depending on who he's talking to. The motive is what matters, okay? And so through the years, methods will change. We weren't using YouTube and all these things 20, 30 years ago. We weren't using text messages and Facebook and all that. We weren't doing that. But if we can proclaim the gospel with as much courage, love, and zeal as Paul did, it's the same deal. We just want to say, God, help me have the right motive in my heart. And my motive has to be that Christ is proclaimed. Not me, not my brand, not my logo, not my denomination. Christ is proclaimed, that people will come to Him. That people will come to Jesus and be changed by that. A generation or two from now, they're not going to care about this YouTube podcast. They won't know who I am or not. They won't worry about that stuff. But they will be impacted if we preached and lived out the gospel. And so you say right now, wherever you're at, whatever amount of time God has given you, and however much time you have left on this earth, we don't know. We have no guarantee of that. You say, regardless of where I'm at, I have been put here to proclaim the gospel. Some of you are good with words, some of you not as good, some of you are a little more outgoing, some of you are a little more reserved. You say, God, you've created me. You know every detail of my DNA. You know everything that I'm confident in and areas where I struggle. Would you give me the courage? Would you give me the courage to have the right motive, to have the right heart, to be on mission, that wherever I'm at, I'm going to proclaim the gospel? Sometimes that's with words. It's going to be serving people. It's going to be inviting them to church. It's going to be getting your Bible out in places where maybe people aren't reading their Bible. It's going to be, you know, maybe you're wearing a cross. Maybe you got some kind of, you know, bracelet. Maybe you got whatever your thing is. Say, I just want them to know this is what I'm about, because I have been put here to make Jesus known. Amen. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate y'all watching. Get in your Bibles. Read Philippians chapter 1. Amen. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.